So I encourage you to find your sermon notes and you can follow along. And we are in a sermon series of letting in the light, and specifically letting in God's light. That there are lies and darkness, and there is light that comes in from God. And I want to share a passage from Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read one section, and then we're going to just pause, and I want you to just sort of look and think about that section, and then I'll read the next section. And so there's an opportunity for you to hear the scripture and allow it to speak to you directly. So hear these words from Ephesians chapter 5, and it starts, "Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." So just take a moment and look at that. And it continues, "Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the word of the Lord. So let in the light. Hopefully you heard in this passage that idea of a different light, of letting in the light. Now we've been looking for the last few weeks at the heart and how it's connected to hope, and the soul and how it's connected to peace. And this morning we're going to look at the mind and how our mind can either let in or keep out joy. Because we are loved, we are adopted, but we are also called to be thoughtful and engaged. And this, I've said it each week, I want to say it again. Lies are like shutters for our heart and our soul and our mind. When we've got lies that we're believing, we're thinking these things that are just not true are true, it keeps out the good that God has for us. It keeps out the light that God can shine into us. So we have to identify the lies. What are lies about the world that darken your mind and rob you of joy? What are lies that you believe of? Well, that's just how things are. That's how things happen. This is things that are not true. Maybe you know the truth, but you don't rely on it. Maybe you just don't even know the truth. So we're going to think about what are some of these lies. And I'm going to focus really in two areas of what is the nature of the world and what is the nature of people. What is our nature? What is the nature of how are things? And there are three options. Is it good? Is it evil? Or is it random? And you know, what's your answer? You know, what is the nature of the world? Is it a good world, an evil world, or just a random world? What is the nature of people? Are people inherently good? Are people inherently evil? Are people, who knows what they are? Just random. Because how you answer that, how you think about those questions, whether you view them biblically or not, does influence your life. You may say, well, hey, you know, I'm an optimist, and I am positive, and I think that the world is overall good, and I think people are overall good. And if you believe that, there's a little bit of joy that's robbed out of you, because then you find things that aren't good. Bad things happen to you, to your family, to your loved ones, to strangers. The hurricanes, the floods, the cancers. And it's like, well, if things are good, what's wrong with me? Why did this happen to me? If everything's so good, so I believe it's good, but wait a second, what's wrong with me? But then, if you're thinking, well, you know, the world is evil, and people are evil, and nothing can fix it. It's just bad, messed up world. Well, where's the joy in that? You're constantly, you've got your guard up. You're constantly in a state of hopelessness, accomplishly waiting for something to fall apart and go wrong. Well, that's not so good either. And then what about just random? Well, it's just chance, and you know, it's a dark, cold universe, and there is nothing beyond us. There's no good, there's no bad. It just happens. We're just a combination of molecules that think they have a consciousness. Well, there's not a lot of joy in that. If there's no purpose, there's no meaning, there's no fulfillment. Just grab all you can and then die. Well, that just doesn't go very far either. So what is this? What is the answer here? Is it good? Is it evil? Is it random? Well, it's a mixture and it's a process. Now, the mixture starts with, if you want to put that in your sermon notes, that we are designed and created good. If you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, you look in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, and it was good. God's creating, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And that's the starting point. So there is a foundation of good, but it was corrupted and marred by evil. So that's the second thing here. Corrupted and marred by evil, and that, yeah, there's good, but there is evil in it. It says in the Bible that all of creation is groaning for the day when it gets redeemed, when it gets perfected again, because all this trouble and problems, it's not just in the human soul, it's in the world around us, that there is a corruption in the human heart, and there's scarring on earth because of evil in this world. But that's not the end. It's being redeemed and restored by God. God is actively working in this world, but so is evil. But the great news of joy is that while evil is active, it's not the final word. It's not the end. It's not where things are heading. It's being conquered by the light. And so for this, to have this joy, to receive this, we need to let in God's light. We need to let God's light into our hearts, knowing that God loves us, and having hope because of that, anchored to the rock of the universe. We need to let the light into our souls, knowing that we're not slaves, we're not orphans, we're adopted children, and having peace because of that. But we need to let the light into our minds so that we can live as children of light. So that's how this passage started that I read earlier. It says, live as children of light. And it continues on after that. Once it says, you know, okay, this is how you're to live, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. There's acknowledgement, yeah, there's evil out there. There's active forces. So make the most of every opportunity. Carpe diem, there we go. Seize the day. Because God is at work and wants us to be involved with this work. God is bringing good and bringing light and wants you to have a part in this, an active part. So what is step one? Step one, if we look at this, is to understand God's will. You can write that in your notes if you want. Understand God's will. What does God want? What is God doing? It says, you know, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Earlier, when it said, don't live as children of light, it says, find out what pleases the Lord. Figure out what pleases the Lord. And this is mind work. We have to study, we have to look, we have to observe, we have to think. What is God doing? What pleases the Lord? What is the Lord's will? In Romans, Paul is writing to the church he had never visited and didn't talk to them before. He's like, hey, let me explain some things. And he says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by a renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind, a rethinking of your mind, a reframing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good and pleasing and perfect will. It's a mind thing to figure this out. So this is truth, that God is at work, and truth that we are to join in and be part of it, bringing good. So make the most of every opportunity. Step one, understand God's will. Step two, it says be filled with the Spirit. It's not all head work. If you try and do it all yourself, all with your own logic, all with your own rational reason, you're going to fall short, you're going to get frustrated, you're going to get exhausted. But it says, be filled with God's Spirit. That's part of the joy. If it's all resting on you, all resting on your brain, all resting on what you figured out, that's not going to get you joy. But if you're filled with God's Spirit, we get some extra joy. I think it's interesting in this passage where it says, don't be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with Spirit. Why even bring up drunkenness in this passage? Why bring up wine? This, you know, some people say, see, you're not supposed to drink wine. That's not the main point here. I mean, yes, there's a long-standing statement in here. Don't get drunk because you lose control. But think about it. When somebody gets drunk, they are no longer fully in control. Something else is guiding them, controlling them, egging them on. And the alcohol in the system brings out the marred and the corrupted nature within us. But in the same way, okay, that wine is controlling somebody, and even if they want to sober up, they can't. It's controlling them until it's out of their system. But think about that with the Spirit. What if the Spirit's controlling you? What if the Spirit is guiding you? That is a different thing. That brings joy. That brings life. And the Spirit should be in us in such a way that it just is naturally controlling us. We can't unspirit up. You know, that we are filled with the Spirit. So how does this happen? Well, the Spirit comes to anyone who believes in Christ. Anyone who asks for forgiveness and puts their life in God's hands through Christ. It says, you know, the Spirit comes to them. But we're also told to invite the Spirit into us. Say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And there's also an act of God in this where God says, hey, I'm going to give you a little extra Spirit right now because you need it. So these are things that are happening in the life of anyone who's committed to Christ. If we are open to it, the Spirit comes in. But how do we maximize it? How do we tune into it? How do we use this to help us find the most for every opportunity? And I think it's interesting. What does it say? It says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing, make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they're speaking to each other. There is this gathering. This is actually biblical wisdom and guidance for us. If you want to be tuned into the Spirit, you want to have that extra fullness, song is part of it, because song reaches the heart and the soul and the spirit of us. And there's this corporate sharing it together, but it also says sing and make music in your heart. There's a personal, private aspect of it. But in everything, give thanks to God. That this should be our focus, is thanksgiving. In this, we are letting in God's light. When we work with our mind to figure out what God's will is, but we don't just stop there. We welcome the Spirit in to animate and fill and guide us. When we understand that evil is not permanent, evil is not the final destination, that God is at work, that Advent matters, that we are expecting Christ to come and be laid in a manger, to walk among us, to be with us, to help solve our problems, to be in this journey of life, to forgive our sins and restore us to God. There is joy. There is hope. There is peace. We need to have a renewed mind of the truth of what this world truly is, to have the joy that God gives. A statement I want you to leave here with: the days may be evil, but God is good. God is good. And God is doing good things. And God is bringing good into the world. And God wants to do it through you. It is shown in the gift of Christ that we celebrate at Christmas. There is a light. Believe in it, rely on it, and let it in. And that is a source of joy. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that there is nothing we can do to earn your love. That you just love each and every person on this planet. But because of that love, we are called to respond to you, to turn to you, and to serve you with joy and adoration. Lord, help us to turn to you again and again, to be filled with your Spirit, to be renewed in the mind, and to find the joy of the Lord. I pray that each person here may have that experience, may have that turning point in their life, and may this Christmas find you in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.